U.S. Supreme Court is going to hear, among the many cases they're going to hear in their new session, challenges to race-based affirmative action policies. This involves one private university. This involves one public university. All of it obviously involving, public money when it comes to grants and tuition assistance and everything. Devin Westhill from the Center for Equal Opportunity joins us right now. Devin, let's start with the basics. We've got University of Michigan, and I'm drawing a blank on the other. I want to say it was Duke, but I could be wrong about that, or North Carolina. And what we've got here are basically challenges saying that using the race factor in admissions is in fact discriminatory in and of itself. What's set the stage for us?
That's correct. Very happy to be here with you. The two schools who are being challenged in terms of their use of race in college admissions is Harvard and the University of North Carolina, as you suggested, one being private, that's Harvard, and one being public, that's the University of North Carolina. Way back in 2014, a group of Asian Americans sued those schools, saying, look, the way in which your use of race in admissions is playing out is that we're really getting the shaft here. And the evidence deduced at trial suggested as much, that Asian Americans had to score much, much, much higher in their academics than a similarly situated applicant who was black or Hispanic. These litigants say, look, this is illegal. Based on the court's precedents, saying you can't have quotas, you can't have ceilings on how many people of a certain race can be admitted to a school. And you know what, Supreme Court, you should overturn your 2003 case that says the use of race can be a factor that schools take into consideration in reviewing applications.
A lot of the state admissions of schools, along with businesses and governments everywhere, is to promote diversity. Why would promoting diversity through, we are going to have some spots for some people of different demographics, why would that be something that is illegal, even if it is discriminatory, if they say, but we want to make sure we have a racially diverse campus?
Well, it's illegal because the Constitution in this country says that all states must treat their citizens equally under the law. And, of course, we have civil rights laws that say just that as well. You cannot discriminate on the basis of race. It doesn't matter if you think that diversity is a good thing, and quite frankly, that's, really not something that's at issue here, right? The Supreme Court has said, look, we think it's a compelling interest to have, campus racial diversity, and schools can narrowly tailor their use of race to promote that diversity. But the law that is higher than what, five justices on the Supreme Court have to say about it is the Constitution and the civil rights laws of this country. It's very, very clear that using race as a factor is illegal.
One of the arguments made in the past for race-based affirmative action programs has been, okay, but there are people who otherwise would not get opportunities that come with college admission, particularly prestigious universities, and disproportionately black and Hispanic applicants don't get in. That's one of the arguments that have been made. Is there a case to be made for maybe economic opportunity that parallels racial demographics?
I think there's a case that can be made for that, right? But what we're talking about here is admitting someone based on the color of their skin or who their ancestors were who experienced hardship or outright oppression and atrocities, which is, a fact of the history in this country, the fact of world history, whether or not those things should affect or weigh in on who gets admitted, right? The color of someone's skin and who their ancestors were who experienced things that they themselves did not experience. I think there is a case that can be made for socioeconomic hardship in providing a plus factor in admitting applicants, but that's not what's at stake here.
Yeah, that's why I wanted to ask that question, because that's one of the main arguments that, as I recall, for affirmative action programs. But what we're talking about here doesn't have anything to do with actual socioeconomic status. It really is just based on the color of skin.
That's exactly right. And I'll say also, when affirmative action was outlawed in the state of California. The state of California decided that by referendum that they were not going to allow the use of race in contracting and employment and in higher education. We saw actually that black and brown students graduated in higher rates. There are more of that demographic in University of California system. And in fact, their GPAs rose on average. So the idea that just because we don't have affirmative action, that everything's, everyone who is an underrepresented minority is going to no longer be able to go to college or advance to a higher socioeconomic station in life really is just a fallacy.
We are visiting with Devin Westhill from the Center for Equal Opportunity. Devin, I've just got a minute or two left. What do we know about the arguments that the universities are going to bring to defend their policies? What do we know about them, and what is your take on them?
Well, I think basically what we're going to hear today, and arguments start at 10 o'clock in the UNC case, and then Harvard will follow after that because Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson is recused from the Harvard case, but will participate in the UNC case. What I expect to hear from Harvard and UNC lawyers and also from the government who are going to be arguing in these cases is, look, the law is settled here. We've got a nearly 20-year precedent that says race can be used as a mere factor among many others in the pursuit of benefits that flow from campus racial diversity. We know that there are plenty of them, and the Supreme Court says this is compelling. We should allow the law to stay the way it is. But if the court decides it needs to revisit this, we ought to just be told that we should more narrowly tailor our admissions criteria and the use of race, and the Constitution and the civil rights laws of this country don't ban this type of activity, that's what I expect from that side of the argument.
So really, when we look at the possible outcomes, it's not just an up or down thumb vote. There could be a range of outcomes on this, not just yes they're legal or no they're not legal.
That's right. There's a whole range. In fact, they are currently, the use of race in public life is illegal unless and until it is narrowly tailored, which is the legal terminology for this, to something the court has allowed, right? A mere factor in admissions criteria, not a determining factor, for example.
All right. Devin, where do we get in touch with you? Tell us about the Center for Equal Opportunity and where we can find it online.
Well, thank you very much. The Center for Equal Opportunity's website is ceousa.org. It's an organization that's been around almost 30 years. We conduct studies of racial and ethnic preferences. We file lawsuits or file briefs in federal and state courts. And we try to influence public opinion by writing, speaking, and media appearances. I post quite frequently on my Twitter. It's at Devin, D-E-V-O-N, Westhill. You can find me there, too.
All right, Devin, appreciate you being on the program.
My pleasure. Thank you.